Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April 11th. Welcome to the Labor and Commerce Committee for the Senate. With me today, I have my Vice Chair, Senator Costello. We've got Senator Birch. We've got Senator Gray Jackson. Senator Bishop is in finance, and he is on call for us. And Senator McChickie is on his way down at this time. I want to thank Dakota, Natasha, Nancy, and Doug. Thank you all for your help today. We really appreciate it. We have one major item on the agenda today, and that is dealing with amendments to SB 52. So that is our primary objective. I forgot to note the time. It was 1:35 when we logged in here today. And so we're going to go ahead, and we've got six amendments today. And so we're going to go ahead and start with Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your having amendments to this legislation. So I move Amendment 31-LS-004/U.18 before the committee as amendment number one.
And I will object for purposes of discussion, and we are making sure for the public that we're saying the number, the U.18, because there's a little bit of change out at the last minute, and so that's why we're going to make sure with every single amendment. It is amendment number one, but it's U.18. So, Tom, would you like to come forth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Tom Wright, and I'm staff to Representative Costello and, or excuse me, Senator Costello. Forget where I'm at sometimes. Mm-hmm. U18, what this does is for restaurants that serve liquor, it basically tells the board that they're going to issue a license within 60 days. But there are some conditions before that, you know, that the license can't be issued if the applicant has previously had a license suspended or revoked, and the board may suspend or revoke a license that was automatically transferred to another person if, after receiving criminal justice information and records obtained under 04-11295, the board determines the licensee does not meet the qualifications for transfer of that license. And I apologize for the lateness of the U18 amendment. I was working with the sponsor this morning, and this was a language that they found, especially the last part under D, that they would like to have inserted into this amendment.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and welcome Senator Bishop to the table. He needs a packet of amendments. Okay, so with that, I'm going to see if we get Erica to speak to this?
Absolutely.
Okay, Erica McConnell, I know you're on for questions, and I would like you to speak to this because I know this directly impacts AMCO.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is Erica McConnell with the Alcala Marijuana Control Office. I apologize, but the amendments are not posted online, so I have not seen them.
Okay, yeah, this one was a last-minute amendment, but what we're going to do is, Senator Costello, do you want to go over that?
Madam Chair, can we have an at ease?
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and continue right now. That there was some last minute changes, and so this was not uploaded to BASIS, and I think a couple of the other ones as well. But what we're going to do is allow any committee questions and allow the sponsor to continue at this moment. And IT's supposed to be uploading them right now. Okay. And Erica, this still has two committees of referral here and three over in the other body, so there's plenty of opportunity for you to weigh in regards to this. So first of all, Tom, do you want to go ahead and proceed?
Yes, Madam Chair. So just to clarify, what Amendment U18 does is say that a license for a restaurant that serves liquor is automatically transferred as requested in the application, and it's automatically granted if the board does not approve or deny the application within 60 days. The other thing it does put limitations, you know, on the issuance of that license if the applicant for transfer has not previously had a license or permit suspended or revoked. Also, the board may also suspend or revoke the license that was automatically transferred to another person if, after receiving the criminal justice information and other records, the board determines the licensee does not meet the qualifications for the transfer of that license to another person.
Okay. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Ms. McConnell, if I can ask her a question.
We're waiting to uplift them.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's right. I'm sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah. So, but we're trying to get her the copies right now. Senator McChickie, did you or your staff want to weigh in regards to this amendment? No? You're good with it? Okay. Okay. So any other questions from the board? We're going to roll this one to the bottom for right now. But we will be taking it up shortly, and so Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, do we need a motion to table that amendment until the end of the meeting, or is
what we've done in the past is roll to the bottom? Do you want to weigh in?
Madam Chair, I make a move that we table Amendment U18 to the bottom of the calendar.
Okay. No objection. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Amendment 31-LS0004/U.2 before the committee as Amendment Number 2.
And I'll object for purposes of description.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And my staff is here to explain the amendment to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, Tom Wright, staff to Senator Costello. And what this amendment does is delete Section 44, which grants the executive director additional powers and I don't have the language in front of me, and I apologize for that, but it grants the executive director additional powers to place conditions or, say whether or not this license should or should not be granted. I believe that's what the language reads, and I apologize for not having that in front of me.
Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, this amendment deletes Section 44 of the bill, which is on page 65. That section reads, AS 04-11-395 is amended by adding a new subsection to read, except for a conditional contractor's permit issued under AS 0409-690, the director may, in the best interest of the public, impose conditions or restrictions on a permit issued under this chapter. And Madam Chair, the intention of this amendment is to sustain the traditional powers that boards have, where the board holds the power and gives instructions to the director, and the director will carry out the intentions of the board. So, Madam Chair, this is what this amendment does.
Okay. Madam Chair, if I may, too, this amendment is 6 pages long, but most of it has to do with renumbering the sections. This one is removed.
Mm-hmm. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the only question I have would be how frequently the board meets and whether it's necessary to have some sort of for a continuity of service and support to the industry and others that are impacted. I without diving into it, and we obviously haven't had testimony on it, but just to make sure that it doesn't basically stall anything until the next scheduled board meeting. And I guess I don't have a good sense for that or not. So.
Tom, do you want to?
Madam Chair, the board, my understanding, meets 4 times yearly, but they can also meet telephonically if needed. And that would be whenever they deem it necessary.
Okay. Follow up?
Please.
So basically, if there's an issue that comes up during, in between those quarterly meetings, the executive director can poll the board, or basically the provisions are such that they can contact the board members and get a sense of the board during that interim period? Through the chair?
Through the chair, Senator Birch. That is my understanding, okay. Yes.
Fair enough. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. And if you wouldn't mind, Senator McChicky, can you have either you or your staff up at the table? So we also wanted you to weigh in as the sponsor.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate you asking that question. Senator Peter McChicky, District O, and sponsor of this bill. I hate to talk about another amendment, but I supported the last amendment. This amendment actually works against that amendment. What the reason we put that into the bill is to avoid those delays that we're talking about, because right now it's black and white. You're either your application is okay and they're going to approve it, or it's not okay and they're not. And this allows the director, by working with the board, to say, you know, this is probably a no, with the exception that if you meet these two conditions, we're going to approve it today. So this kind of works. If you look at the nature of the last amendment, it leaves it out. If someone fails a public safety background check or something, the last amendment allowed an automatic continuance of that license. So this is the same sort of thing. The board, and by working together, I don't see it as power for the commissioner. Right now, the director is going to either suggest yes or no, and they follow her lead. If this goes through, they won't be able to put those little conditions in, and they're not going to be major things. They're probably going to be very little things where she would say, you know, if you added these two conditions, I would probably approve this, suggest that you approve this application today. So I understand the intent of it, and I understand how it sounds by Section 44, but it actually throws more of an obstacle into approval of applications as opposed to streamlining the process.
Madam President, or Madam Chair, can we have an at ease?
Sure. Senator Costello.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate you taking the time. I have spoken to the sponsor of the bill, and I believe that there is a compromise that can be achieved that might meet both my concern that the board actually holds the power and the director carries out the instructions from the board, and then also meets your concern, which I understand, which is that without this section, it might delay some of the applications because there is no allowance to provide some conditions. And I certainly want to work in that direction, and my First Amendment actually, as you pointed out, addresses that. So, Madam Chair, I would like to offer a conceptual amendment to amendment number one. Excuse me, amendment number two.
Please proceed.
My amendment would delete on line 25, page 65, the director may, and replace that phrase with the board may. And Madam Chair, that would essentially alter amendment number two, but I do believe it's a fairly simple concept, so that we are retaining this section in the bill, and the only change is the word director to the word board.
Okay, and I see no objection.
Madam Chair, can we have an at ease?
Thank you.
I don't see an objection to amendment number one to amendment number two, and so that conceptual amendment passes. So we're back now to amendment number two. Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, just for the sake of the public who's watching, because sometimes it can be a little bit hard to follow, so what we've done essentially is the legislation provides something new, which is that there are conditions that can be imposed in order to move the process along. So the conditions can still be imposed. What we are doing is saying that the board is what is the entity that's providing those conditions, not the individual who serves at the direction of the board. So this is fairly simple, and I just wanted to make that clear for the public who may be watching.
Okay. Senator McChicky, do you want to weigh in?
I'm fine with the changes, Madam Chair.
Okay, excellent. Okay, is there any other comments in regards to this? Because I'm getting ready to remove my objection. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection to amendment number 2 as amended. Okay, so that amendment passes. Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, I move amendment 31-LS0004/U.9 before the committee as amendment number 3.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, again, this is Tom Wright, staff to Senator Costello. And this amendment has been submitted by request, and what it allows is for someone who is on a large resort, say Alyeska, for example, and say they're visiting one part of the resort, if they have a drink brought to them, they cannot take that drink anywhere except at the location in which they currently are. This allows them to transport without having to have someone else transport that drink to any other area within that resort area.
I'm going to speak to this. I very much support this amendment. I know it's caused some amazing issues at resorts where they have to go get somebody to carry the drink to the room on behalf of the guest, and I thought that was silly, so I'm super happy with this amendment. But Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to diddle your comments because I absolutely agree 100%. So thank you, Senator Costello, for bringing this forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Absolutely. Okay, I see no other comments at this time, so I'm going to remove my objection. I don't see any other objection. So amendment number 3 has passed, and then I'm going to go ahead and move amendment number 4.
I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. So basically, and I apologize, I was supposed to be meeting with Senator McChicky right before this, but I think we're all double and triple booked right now. But basically, what this amendment does is it just reduces the licensing fee. Oh, excuse me, 31LS004U.14. Thank you very much, Nancy. I do appreciate that. So it's amendment number 4. And I did mean to get that U.14, but it's amendment number 4 on record. It basically just reduces and
brief of these.
Uh-huh. Record, lots of papers in front of us today. So U.14 just reduces from $1,250 down to $1,000. It was just some of the smaller breweries and wineries were complaining that a 480% increase was going to be very detrimental to their businesses. And so out of compromise, it would now be $2,000, because they're getting, if they have a manufacturing or retail, it would be a $1,000 license instead of a $2,500 license. So that's basically what amendment number 4 does. Senator McChicky, would you like to weigh in?
Not particularly, Madam Chair, but I will. I just want to remind folks that we have not increased fees for 30-plus years. We've only had one complaint from one winery. We've had none from any breweries, and the reason for the extra funding was to help. We've not been doing any compliance checks in any facilities in 2 years, I believe, 3 years. And the public, this just, I think it impacts the public safety gains in this bill by reducing the funding that they have all of the user groups have agreed to, other than one individual who was at those meetings and we discussed it with that meeting, and that is happens to be a constituent of mine, and he owns a small winery. So it compromises our ability to provide some of the public safety and health goals of the bill. Other than the one, I don't have any opposition to the 1250. So that's my opinion. What you choose to do is, of course, up to the committee.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Machicki, the license fees, does it all go to the Treasury, or does some part of this go to the board to help them administer? Because the reason I'm asking is because, you know, I think I made mention a week or so ago, days are all running together now, but I had thought the fiscal note was a little light on implementing this major reg package that's going to be coming forward. So care to comment on that? Or
yeah, this is like the other boards and commissions. These are license fees that go directly to the board who manages that compliance of alcohol licensing.
Well, I've shared my concern that I thought their fiscal note was light for executing in a timely fashion what we're trying to accomplish here. So,
anybody else want to weigh in on this? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Machicki, did I hear you say that reducing this amount affects public safety? Did I hear you say that?
You did. One of the primary reasons of this bill was to get back into compliance checks for the thousands of licensees that are not being checked today. And that is a dramatic impact on minors consuming because there's no one sort of doing their little stopping in visits to make sure it's not occurring. And this $250 per licensee assists in funding those compliance checks, which are not occurring today because of the reductions. What this does specifically, and we're requiring in this bill, the director prepare and submit to the board an annual budget, but includes the funding for administration, enforcement, education, training, and prevention activities under the title. So the license fees with all of the working with all of the licensees, and you've seen the stakeholder group, were designed to fund those activities.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Senator Machicki, your staff. First question, what the current fees are right now are what?
Thank you, through the chair, Edra Morledge. This is, I'm staff to Senator Machicki. Senator Bishop, I believe currently, I don't have my statute book in front of me, but I believe it's $800 biannually.
Okay.
Biannually.
And Senator Machicki, I'm sure it goes without saying that you've probably vetted this 1250 increase to the industry, and what's their temperature? At 1250.
Well, you'll see in your support letters that they support the current status of the bill, including the license fees. And they understand the values they're going to get out of it. It cleans up the industry and it helps sort of take care of the small percentage of less quality operators that are out there right now that give the industry a bad name. And without compliance checks, that is a problem that seems to be growing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would like to have just a little bit of commentary. I for one, don't like supplementals coming in, and I've expressed my concerns before about their fiscal note on implementing this bill. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was wondering if Ms. McConnell could comment on the staff that she currently has for compliance checks and how many businesses would fall under this that would require the board to provide compliance checks for?
Thank you, Eric McConnell, Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, through the chair. Compliance checks used to be funded through a grant from the Federal Department of Justice, and that grant ended in 2015. So the program was, my understanding, was suspended at that time with the intent that it would be reexamined and continued. I know that the assignment of the marijuana program to the office sort of threw everything into a great deal of upheaval, and so it was very difficult to focus on anything at that time that was not related to getting the marijuana program up and running. It is our intention to continue to do compliance checks. We have 8 enforcement officers to cover the entire state, and we also want to make sure that we are doing them in a way that properly protects the underage persons who would be doing the checks in terms of workers' comp if they should get injured somehow, if they are traveling with our staff and there is a car accident. You know, we want to make sure that they are properly protected. So we are trying to work out some of those details before bringing the program back online. But it is expensive. It does require travel. We have approximately 1,900 licenses throughout the state. I don't have the number at my fingertips of how many of those do sell for consumption on the premises, but we do checks both for consumption on the premises and package stores who could sell for consumption off the premises. I'd be happy to provide that number in writing.
Senator Casella? Yes, we would like that number in writing. Senator Gray Jackson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. McConnell, thank you for being online. So I heard you say that you have 8 compliance officers?
8 investigators, ma'am.
Okay, investigators. Okay, thank you. And so you may or may not be able to answer this question, but how much money does this $250 equal on an annual basis? And the reason why I'm asking is because I'm trying to determine if deleting it is equivalent to one investigator, 2 investigators?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I don't have an answer for you right now. I would have to redo my fiscal note, but could also provide that answer relatively quickly in writing.
Okay. Madam Chair, can I follow up?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Ms. McConnell, so I'm going to just come right out and ask you. So if this amount is deleted, what's the effect on running your business, so to speak? Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, is your question, if this amendment passes, what's the effect on the licensing, the licensed businesses?
In terms of public safety and your enforcement officers or investigators.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chair, can I be explained to Ms. McConnell what I'm asking? Okay. So Senator Muchiki said that this amount would affect public safety. Okay. And so in terms of it affecting public safety, I'm thinking that it means, you know, having enough investigators to go out and, you know, and do their job, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. So then my question is, if this amount is reduced to 1,000, how is that going to affect that mission? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I'd really have to look more carefully at how this impacts the entire fiscal note and how that relates to our current budget. And so I'm going to have to get back to you in writing.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So I'm going to put few of my concerns on record. Well, I guess McChickie wants to go again first, but I want to turn to speak as well. So go ahead, Senator.
I just want to correct something from the record, Madam Chair. We actually only increased the brewery licenses from 1,000 to 1,250, which is a 25% increase. The distillery licenses from 1,000 to 1,250, which is a 25% increase. And the one complaint we had from Mr. Olson was the winery manufacturing license, and that went from 500 to 1250 for a 150% increase. So, Madam Chair, if understanding your concerns, if I were going to reduce one, I would, sitting in your chair, if I were you, I would consider the winery to that $1,000, which I think would be a fair would reduce their increase. But I did also want to put on the record, Madam Chair, that in the bill that we passed the other day, one of the ideas came from Mr. Olson, and that was on the bond. We made it so quality operators that pay their taxes no longer have to have the expense of a bond. That came from Mr. Olson, and that reduced their cost on maintaining a bond if they pay their taxes for 3 years in a row.
Okay, so basically I've heard conflicting testimony. She said that it was $800 biannually for $400. You're saying that it was $1,000 to $1,250. So I'm seeing some conflicting in testimony right now. So what I'm going to do is withdraw this amendment right now, but I need a commitment to you two to work with me in regards to this as this moves to judiciary, because this is an issue where I've seen massive abuses with travel, with buying new furniture, and all sorts of stuff on boards through the past several years that when I've glanced at records. And I just want to make sure that if it goes from $400, which you said, biannually, to $1,250, that's a 3.5 times increase. So it's a significant number to me to almost triple, you know, people's licensure fees with absolute no guarantee that there's going to be, I would want to see an absolute guarantee that there was going to be, if you're going to threaten that public safety is going to be, you know, harmed if they aren't able to triple, you know, their fees. Basically, I mean, you know, if we take her numbers, you know, I have a real problem with that, because I want to know that there is a plan in place and that every dime is going to be used, because people are really heavily impacted by overpowering government and massive government fees, taxes, and all this kind of stuff. So that's why I really wanted to meet with you before the meeting today, to discuss this, because I think this is really, really important. And a lot of people are suffering because of increased licensing fees and overpowering regulations. And I want government to, when private sector thrives, government does well as well. But when we suppress and oppress the private sector, you know, then government also ends up being impacted tremendously. So anyway, that's why I think this issue is one that I'm just not going to just walk away, you know, with a massive increase in licensure fees. I think that they need to be justified. They've certainly not been justified to me. I know there's a statement out there, but I think it's really important to get that justified on record of exactly where this money is going to be spent.
Madam Chair, if I may, to be fair, my staff, Edra, said that she wasn't positive that it was from memory, but they're both biennial. The $1,000 was biennial. The $1,250 would be biennial, so it is a true 25% increase. And the winery was biennial, and it's still biennial at $1,250 for a 150% increase. And my only other point is, when we were reviewing this, we went through all the legislative audits to see if there were other abuses. And the only problems we saw were the ones where the statute wasn't being used accordingly. But we didn't see any of those abuses or excesses. We think that the AMCO board is using their funding responsibly.
Yeah, and just a minute. And in regards to AMCO, I'm not saying AMCO, because I did see their audit. I'm saying other boards and commissions. We have had some significant issues in the past, and that's why I'm trying to make sure that we don't collect excessive fees. You know, that it tremendous increase, and then there's manufacturing license and retailer's license as well. So some of them are now paying, you know, double for some of the distilleries, breweries, and wineries. And so anyway, I just wanted to make sure that this discussion took place, that I want some accountability with this money and to ensure that it's going to be used for what it's being designated to, and that it actually there is a measurable outcome that improves public safety, a measured outcome. Because you can collect all the money you want, you know, and say that it's going to claim, but I've been around here long enough to see it's not happening. We keep saying if we're going to pass this, then Medicaid's going to go down, and all the budget does, it goes up. So I'm kind of tired of rhetoric right now, and I really want to see some measured outcome where, you know, things are actually going to, you know, public safety is going to increase, which obviously it's not out there right now, and where, you know, budgets are going to go down if we do certain things. But anyway, Senator Costello.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your concerns to balance the needs of public safety, but also have the fairness for the small businesses out there. And I do appreciate that Erica's online, Erica McConnell, who is listening to the discussion. And I think that the committee testimony is important for the public record, which is why it's recorded. And so I think that that message has been delivered, that with these fee increases, that it's the intention of this committee and the chair that those fees be used for the actual investigators and not anything extemporaneous or unnecessary. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Excellent. Thank you. That's perfect wording. I really appreciate that. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since this amendment is going to be postponed or whatever the term is, I just want to reemphasize with Ms. McConnell that the information that you said you didn't have that you would provide in terms of the effect on this increase, that you'll provide that information to the committee in a timely manner. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Gray Jackson. And Eric, I know you've been quite responsive, so we would definitely appreciate that. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Machicki, are you or, with the chair's permission, Ms. McConnell, whoever can answer this, and if you can't, get back to me. So we talked about it. We're talking about a fee increase, and we're talking about a decrease, but we're also talking about some savings on not posting a bond, or if you're on good behavior. Is that bond a cash bond, or is that an insurance binder for a percentage of the bond, or how does that work? And if we're losing, if it's a cash bond, are we, is the AMCO board losing that revenue, and by this fee increase, is it a wash at the end of the day?
Thank you. Senator Bishop, through the chair, that would be a better question for Director McConnell.
Erica?
Madam Chair, this is Erica McConnell from AMCO. The bond relates to the taxes owed to the Department of Revenue, and it's paid to the Department of Revenue, so it is entirely unrelated to my budget or to AMCO's budget.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. Okay, so we're going to go ahead, and that one will be withdrawn, but it will be coming up again. I can promise you that. Okay, so...
Madam Chair, would you just like to table it?
I was just withdrawing it.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it up in Judiciary. All right. Thank you. I really appreciate that, though. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you be willing to bring it up again, but I'm going to take care of it in Judiciary. But thank you. Okay, so with that, I am going to... move amendment number 5, which is 31LS0004U.19.
I'll object for the sake of discussion.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Okay, so basically what this does is retailers with a holder of a retail sample manufacturer, they that have an endorsement, it allows them to advertise. It's a pretty simple amendment.
Question?
Senator Cassell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I was just wondering if it's a curious section of the bill, which the first part says that the manufacturer sampling endorsement, they may not publicly advertise through news, print, radio, or television. However, they can reach out via electronic means. And I was wondering, Madam Chair, if the sponsor of the legislation could explain the rationale for why that restriction exists in the bill.
Thank you.
I'd actually, if I could, Madam Chair, I'd like to give that, and I understand the amendment and I actually support it, but if Ms. Brawley can answer that one, it's kind of a more Recover Alaska desire in the bill.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Anna?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm online.
Did you want to speak to that?
Yes, for the record, my name is Anna Brawley, the Title IV Review Coordinator, calling in from Anchorage. And, Madam Chair, my understanding is the question is about the amendment removing advertising restrictions for sampling activities done by manufacturers. Is that correct?
Correct. It's of the bill. It's 31, page 31, line 13 through 17, basically.
Yes. So the purpose of this this policy proposal from the Title IV Review stakeholders was to ensure that advertising for providing free samples would not turn into a free-for-all or signs that say free alcohol or, you know, kind of encouraging overconsumption for the purposes of generating business. And so the language that's in the bill currently restricts advertising, public advertising for sampling specifically to address this concern. However, it's also an activity that manufacturers practice now on their property, and it's part of their business model to offer tours, and sampling is often part of that, not just in Alaska, but in other places. And so, so in discussion with Alaska Berries, who had an objection to this, and given that it is an activity that is allowed now, the idea that this would be a severe public health risk is less than we originally had anticipated.
Oh, Senator Cassell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I appreciate the concerns that Recover Alaska brings, you know, has brought to the table. I support this amendment. I believe that it really gets back to free speech, and so I'll be supporting this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Costello. Any other comments? Senator McChickie, would you like to weigh in on this amendment?
No, I actually support the amendment. We have been reaching out to Alaska Berries again, which is, happens to be my constituent, to try to find some compromises that helps their business, which we support. And I think this is a reasonable and productive change. So I appreciate the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator McChickie. Would you like to?
Oh, I'll remove my objection.
Are there any other further comments or objections on Amendment Number 5? No? Okay. With that, Amendment Number 5, which is U.19, passes. And with that, I will move Amendment Number 31, LS004, U.20. It's Amendment Number 6.
I'll object for the sake of discussion, Madam Chair.
Okay, so basically what this amendment does is this is a conforming amendment, and it allows those with the retail licensors the ability to sell 5.67 gallons of sake wine or any brewed, and basically it's a cleanup to conform with current statute. So this is just a conforming what's currently allowed in statute and just making sure that this area of complies with other portions of statute.
Madam Chair, can we have the sponsor comment on this amendment?
Senator McChickie.
I also support this. It's allowed by brewers, and it should be allowed by wineries and cideries and sake makers as well. I think it's an acceptable change, and it puts everyone on a level playing field as far as I'm concerned. So thank you for the amendment.
Okay, and with that, I will just want to make sure I put that it provide a little bit of clarity, too, because it's wine, mead, or cider, and there's some new cider people that are on the market right now. We just wanted consistent and clarity to conform with current statute and make sure that there was no ambiguity. Senator Bishop.
Would kombucha, Mr. McChickie, come under this? I'm just asking a question because I was reading an article about these distillers that are making this down in Oregon, these craft people that whatever that stuff is. I don't know much about it. But,
Madam Chair, that might be a better question for Edra.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Edra Moreledge, staff to Senator McChickie. Senator Bishop, we're not regulating kombucha in this. It only pertains to alcoholic beverages.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so with that, Senator Birch, sorry.
It's I was recently approached by I have a constituent that is a young mother that avails herself of a drive-up facility in South Anchorage where groceries are delivered at a small fee to the vehicle. There's some question about whether those groceries can include, say, a bottle of wine or beer. And I don't know if I should offer this as a conceptual amendment, but basically this would facilitate that kind of transaction. I'll just read it to you. It shall not be a violation of this section for the holder of a package store license to deliver alcoholic beverages to a customer waiting in the package store parking lot if the customer has previously placed an order with the package store licensee and the payment is processed on site. So basically, this is a facilitation. I don't know if at what point in time that would be appropriate to bring that forward as a conceptual amendment or down the road. And I'd be interested in a comment maybe from the sponsor on that through the chair.
Well, thank you, Senator Birch. Through the chair, I don't know. I'd be happy to address that offline to find out if there are unintended consequences with the site, or if it compromises other parts. It sounds reasonable at first blush, but I'd like to understand it and evaluate it with the department as well as with our folks on the team to see if that's something that they see as being reasonable.
Follow up,
Senator Burke.
Yeah, I would say it's a fairly new service that I'm aware of, but I think a large merchants, you know, the Walmarts, the Fred Meyers, and the Car Safeway and so forth will have it set up. So if you've got a couple kids in the car and you can pull up to the a parking spot, text, and they'll actually come out and deliver a pre-ordered box of groceries to your vehicle. There's all sorts of advantages for doing that, but at this point there's some question about whether that can include a six pack of beer or a bottle of wine, and I think that would be we can take that up offline. But
yeah. Madam Chair.
Senator McChickie.
Ms. McConnell may want to comment on that. I know you have to, of course, present your identification to make sure that you don't have a restricted license or that you're of age first. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the chair, but Ms. McConnell may know if that's legal already, if adequate identification is available.
Erica, would you like to weigh in?
Madam Chair, for the record, Erica McConnell from the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. I have no comment at this time. It appears to be a policy decision, but I would like to put some thought into it and maybe communicate with the sponsor's office.
Okay, so I'm going to make an agreement right now. I'm on judiciary, as is Senator McChickie, and if we don't get this ironed out by Tuesday, which is my hope to get this bill out on Tuesday, then I'll be happy to work with you in judiciary. Just make sure you bring
awesome.
It back to me, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, and Erica, I've been working with you quite a bit, so feel free to send me an email. We can circle back around on this, okay? We appreciate you being online today, Erica. So with that, is there any other comments on E.6? I mean, excuse me, U.20 Amendment Number 6. Sorry.
Madam Chair, thank you for bringing us back to the amendment in front of us, Amendment Number 6. I will withdraw my objection to this amendment.
Okay, and seeing no further objections, that is U.20 Amendment Number 6 passes. And so now we're going to the bottom of the stack. And Erica, I know stuff has been posted. We were a little delayed because of some last minute juggling. Do you have that amendment before you? And are you comfortable speaking with this? It's amendment number one, U.18.
Madam Chair, I'd like to bring amendment number one back up for discussion, please.
And I'll object for the sake of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Erica McConnell, the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. I do have the amendments. They were posted online, and I appreciate you postponing it to give me the opportunity to look at it. There are a couple of potential ramifications to this amendment that I feel the committee should be aware of. At Alaska Statute 04-11-510A, the staff and the board are required to get complete applications to the board within 90 days, and our board meeting schedule is essentially based on that 90-day requirement. So the board essentially ends up meeting approximately 5 times per year to make sure that we bring complete applications to the board within 90 days as required. So with a different 60-day requirement, it would likely mean that either the board would then end up meeting more often, which would be more expensive and require more from the volunteer board members, or some applications for transfer of these types of licenses would go to the board and some would not go to the board. Maybe that's acceptable. But some of the other issues that could come up with this include the ability of a local government to protest. If a local government does protest then, you know, that is something, how would that be addressed in this situation? There are issues with whether the applicant has met their obligations under unemployment insurance and workers' compensation insurance. We do receive objections from time to time from the Department of Labor regarding licensees who have not met those obligations and sometimes have been issued fines from the Workers' Compensation Board that they need to address. So how that issue would factor in. And then the third issue, I see that the criminal background check is addressed in the new Section D. But the third issue would be that currently the board is not allowed to approve a transfer unless, and I'm quoting here from 411-360, number four, unless the transfer has or the board must deny a transfer if the transferor has not paid all debts or taxes arising from the conduct of the business licensed under this title, unless the transferor has given security for the payment of those debts and taxes. So a transfer is an opportunity for creditors to ensure that they get paid. And we do often get liens filed on licenses from other businesses, oftentimes service businesses like distributors and suppliers, when they haven't been paid by a licensee. And then the transfer, a time of a transfer is an opportunity to ensure that the creditors are getting paid. So those are three issues that it seems like may not be, or it's unclear how they would be addressed should this amendment go forward.
Go ahead, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Erica, for commenting on the bill. As far as the local community's ability to protest, this does not affect that. We also heard from your testimony at the previous committee meeting that the board is able to have telephonic meetings, and in addition, that you are working towards an online application and transfer, you know, bringing more of your work online. So I think that those two items dovetail, and in my mind, that is satisfied because you are able to meet telephonically. You did testify last committee meeting when I had asked why so many restaurants in my community are on hold waiting for their transfer, and they're not able to serve alcoholic beverages, even though the previous owner and the previous establishment had that ability. You testified that there should be no interruption of that ability. So this bill apparently just backs up what you are claiming already is occurring, but on the street it may not be happening that way. I just believe that the protections that are in the law now are good ones. However, the fact that some transfers are taking so long is a concern to me, and so that is what this amendment is trying to address. But with that, Madam Chair, I'm not sure if there are other issues that we need to consider.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Senator what's your name?
Costello. Last I checked.
My mind was thinking of something else. No. Thank you, Senator Costello, for bringing this forward. I was really pleased to see it. But what I'm hearing right now, and after being on a local governing body for 9 years and seeing liquor licenses and seeing the number of protests that happened, Erica, you said that this amendment would affect local government protests. And my colleague says that it won't. So I'm a little bit confused, and I'd like some clarification, if you can provide that, Ms. McConnell. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Erica?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson. So it's certainly, I don't know exactly how Senator Costello views the amendment in regards to protest, but my concern would be that the license is automatically transferred under these certain circumstances with no mention of a protest situation. So perhaps a something similar to Section D could be added that would address if a local governing body protests under the correct section in a timely manner, that would have to be addressed or something like that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Costello.
So all of the other tools that the AMCO board has in its toolbox exist. This simply changes the timeline from 90 days to 60 days, and so it basically asks them to speed up their work. And Madam Chair, I appreciate the comments. I am not under the impression that this would affect any of the other processes that they are doing. They still have the ability to deny the license, Madam Chair.
Senator McChicky, would you like to weigh in?
I understand both sides of this concern, and I support Senator Costello's amendment. It may later need some, if it passes today, I think that's okay. And I think what we can do is work together with the maker of the amendment to evaluate if we need additional stop gaps in case money is owed or there's another issue that may interrupt that automatic transfer.
Well, I have one question for Erica. On page 1, line 6, I just think it's really important to say the completed application because the application could be partially complete. I don't know if you want to weigh in regards to that.
Madam Chair, the interpretation by the board of the word application has been complete application because one couldn't allow a licensee to basically stonewall a needed correction and then say, oh, well, now my 60 days is up, so my application's approved, even though it actually didn't contain all the necessary information. So the addition of the word would certainly be positive and would provide clarity, but I think that interpretation is there whether or not the word is there.
I think it's important enough at this point. I don't know if this amendment is going to go up and down, but I'm going to make a conceptual amendment. So amendment number one to amendment number one on line 6 before the application just put completed. Is there any objection? Senator Costello?
Madam Chair, I consider that a friendly amendment, and I think it does add clarity to it. Thank you.
Okay, so with that, seeing no objection, that conceptual amendment passes. So we're back to amendment number 1. Is there any other comments in regards to this? Okay, so you're the one that objected. Do you want to maintain your objection?
Oh, no. I removed my objection.
Okay, so the objection has been removed. Do I see any other objection?
Madam Chair, may I make a comment?
Please, Senator Costello.
Thank you. And as you know, this legislation has been through the process previously. It also has 3 committees of referral, and I just want to mention to the sponsor and Ms. McConnell, who's listening online, that I will work with both of you to make sure that if there's some more clarity on how this affects the board's ability to carry out their important public safety responsibilities. Thank you.
Senator McChicky.
And I just want to, as a past mayor, we had issues with some licensees sometimes, right? They would owe local taxes, or perhaps they had 20 calls a night on Saturdays or something, and often during that transfer process, that would be the time where you could level out some of those issues. So I think it's a good amendment, and I appreciate it. I think it being in the bill will force us to have those conversations about anything we may have missed that retains the power of the local government to make sure the folks that are most impacted by that licensee have a voice in the process. So with that, I more than willing to work together with you. Thank you.
Senator Birch.
I just wanted to thank you, Madam Chair, for running a good operation here and a well-considered number of amendments. And I also wanted to thank Director McConnell for a very timely response to the questions that came up just 2 days ago. I got a very nice written letter addressing those questions on the restricted purchaser list. I wanted to thank Ms. McConnell for that a good and timely effort, and certainly the sponsor for your good work on this. I think it's been a real positive effort. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator Burge. And with that, we're back to amendment number one. I see no further objections on this. So amendment number one, which is U.18, with a minor amendment, has passed. So just want to make sure I got that on record. So I'm going to bring some issues that I think are really important up right now, and I'm planning on working with the sponsor, but these are things that I have not, I'm not settled on these issues, and I just want to make sure that I get them on record right now. So Erica, first of all, I want to tell you thank you, as well as Senator Birch. I think all of us have appreciated how you have really been interacting in a very responsive way, and we really appreciate that. I need to talk to you to make sure that the data is being entered appropriately according to the audit. And I know we talked about this, where 50% of the fees are going back to the local communities, but there's some procedures that they pinpointed, and you may have already corrected this, Erica. I don't think you need to state it on record, but I just wanted to say that is one thing that I want to make sure that is clarified. In addition, recommendation number six from the audit, this is the sunset review. I want to also discuss that with you. In addition, I am not completely settled on recommendation four. I believe is. Of the audit, I'm going to circle back around, and the members have the audit, but I just want to make sure that people know that I'm going to be bringing these things up on Tuesday. In addition, Section 48, there is Mel Stridham, which I know you guys have gotten the letter from him. This is the grog shop in Homer. He said that there's going to be some significant impacts to his business. I don't know if this is just his business or if it's going to be more than one businesses, if this is going to be a broad sweeping. The ability to change a transfer from a package store license from a borough to a city. So that issue, I need to get some more comprehensive understanding in regards to that issue. In regards to Department of Law, we have been meeting with them as well. As thank you for a great meeting this morning. I know it wasn't long, but it was really good. But what I've decided to do with all these issues in regards to Department of Law is address them. And with your commitment, I'm going to address these in Judiciary Committee. So I just feel like that's the more appropriate place to address that. And another issue that I'm still struggling with is the 80% rule. You know, whether it's fermentation, whether it's manufacturing on, you know, on premises, et cetera. That's just an issue that I want to make sure that I fully understand before this bill moves out of my committee. So I just want a commitment with you to work on that issue to make sure that there's not significant impacts to our local businesses in regards to that issue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had an amendment that didn't make it into the packet for some reason, but we are more than willing to work with you on that issue.
Okay, and through the chair, that was me that blocked that amendment, and this is the reason, because we were trying to work with the breweries and the wineries regard to the fermentation and a lot of different things, what exactly manufacturing meant on the premises. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why I wasn't quite ready. I know that we're both working. It wasn't quite ready for prime time today, but it's going to come back up. You guys, with your indulgence, we're going to bring that amendment for sure up on Monday. We were still trying to work on Tuesday, you know, just trying to work that issue out if it becomes an issue once we talk to some of the wineries and breweries and distilleries, okay? The 80% issue. So do we have any other comments today? No, we don't. Thank you, guys. I know amendment is one of the hardest parts of the bill, and so I really appreciate you guys. You all did a fantastic job working with me and the sponsors and the the sponsors of the amendments today. So right now we're going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. We're going to have our next meeting on April 16th at 1:30. We're probably going to do just a couple more amendments if we need to, and we're going to go over the final fiscal note with Senator Bishop, and then with any luck, we're going to get this bill out of committee, okay? So with that, we're going to go ahead and adjourn at 2:45. Thank you.